So last week we witnessed the showdown in the desert. The adversary, the evil one, confronting the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. The temptations come. Jesus resists the siren song, quotes the sacred scriptures, and proves to us that our God is a master of sacrifice, who himself becomes a perfect offering and holds nothing back. Now, this month, as we're going through our Bethany blueprint value of giving proportionately, that story reminds us that our God gives disproportionately. Our God is a disproportionate giver. He owes nothing and yet pays everything. He deserves all and yet demands none. Our God gives disproportionately. Think of how the scriptures talk about Jesus giving. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus forgave all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that stood against us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And right before the words from 2 Corinthians that you heard read just a bit ago, Paul writes, "You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Our God owes nothing, yet pays everything. Our God deserves all, but demands none. Disproportionate giving, he is the master of. And apparently, so were some of those in the church that Paul was writing to. Our reading for today, right before the words, Paul says, "The Macedonian churches gave overflowingly out of joy. In spite of their poverty, they welled up in generous giving, even pleading with us for sharing in this service to the saints." Those are the words that come right before our text. The farmer who plants a few seeds will have a very small harvest. The farmer who plants because he has received God's blessing will receive a harvest of God's blessing. Each of you should give whatever you have decided in your heart. You shouldn't be sorry that you gave or feel forced to give, for God loves a joyful giver. Besides, God will give you his constantly overflowing kindness. Then, when you always have everything you need, you can do more and more. Scripture says, "The righteous person gives freely to the poor, and his righteousness continues forever. God gives seed to the farmer and food to those in need. God will also give you seed and multiply it. In your lives, he will increase those things you do that have his approval. God will make you rich enough so that you can always be generous. And your generosity will produce thanksgiving to God. What you do to serve others not only provides for the needs of God's people, it also produces many prayers of thanksgiving to God." That's our text. Those words, I think, tell us three truths that we need to embrace about giving. The first is that our giving is deeply personal. It was for those in the Macedonian church, right? It welled up from joy that was overflowing. In spite of bank accounts that were dwindling or had dried up, yet they pleaded with joy for the generosity to give in the service to the saints. Paul calls the Corinthians he's writing to embrace this same truth, that giving, our giving, for he's also writing to you and me, our giving ought be deeply personal. Note the words he uses. With your heart. It struck me as I was reading the text that Paul says, with your heart, when he's talking about giving. Because on the one hand, giving is a cerebral activity. Yet Paul ties it in as an emotional work. Now there is, and rightly so, it needs to be this way, some cerebral work in the action of giving. Giving requires a little bit of thought, right? In fact, I don't think you can actually be a proportionate giver if you haven't done a little bit of math to begin with. And math is a brain activity, if ever there was one. It's impossible to arrive at a proportionate gift, is it not? If you don't know the aggregate sum you're starting with. And whether that's pre-tax or post-tax, whether that's net or gross, you can decide that in your heart. Paul says so right here. Giving is, in a way, part of a cerebral activity. And yet, what does Paul say? Paul doesn't say, grab your abacus. He didn't have the ability to say, grab your calculator or your phone. Nor does he say, put pen or quill to parchment. What does Paul say? With your heart, not with your mind. Decide with your heart what you're going to give. Why do you think Paul does that? Why not say, noodle the math, run the numbers, figure it out, oh, proportionate giver? Why does he tie giving into an emotive response? Why decide with your heart? I think it's because it's this simple. There is an emotional connectivity to our giving. There is an emotional connection to our giving. Because there is a God-given spiritual desire to give. And it makes sense, right? You were created in God's image. You are being renewed into the likeness of His Son. And our God is a generous giver. The embodiment of giving. Not merely proportionally, but disproportionately. He owes nothing. He gives everything. He deserves all, and yet demands none. Our God is a giver. And so Paul says, in your heart, decide what to give. And right after he writes those words, he writes this. Don't feel forced to give. And never feel guilty or sad about what you have given. For God loves one who gives cheerfully, joyfully, emotionally, from the heart. Giving, since it's deeply personal, is to be determined by the giver, not the receiver. The emotional, internal heart part of giving is to be upwelling and overflowing with joy that comes from knowing we get a return to God, a portion of that which with He has blessed us so richly. Truth number one, our giving is personal. Truth number two, according to the text, our giving is purposeful. Or as we can say here, He blesses at Bethany. One of the ways He does so is through our giving. Our giving is purposeful. It results in people giving thanks to God. There are people every day, who thank God for what he has done in their life, what he is doing for them, what he is working in them, what he is doing through them because of the ministry of Bethany that has in part been funded by your proportionate gifts, your offerings, your first fruits, your tithes, your proportionate gifts fund ministry that serves other people, cares for their needs. That's why Paul can say, on account of you. Obviously, if anybody knows that it's God who's doing the work, it's Paul. It's the very heart of all he writes. And yet he's saying God is doing it through us. On account of you, people will give thanks to God in prayer more and more. There's a story I want to share with you that maybe can help you understand this. Most of you probably were not here last Sunday at 10:55. So at 10:55 last Sunday, we were blessed to baptize a young lady. She moved here to go to college. She was an adult confirmand recently. I'm allowed to tell this story. The first time she heard about Jesus was when in Nicaragua she opened up her Operation Christmas Child shoebox. Now, how many of you have ever taken one of those shoeboxes home? How many of you ever thrown maybe some gift in the blue box outside so stuff can be bought to put in those little red boxes? How many of you ever returned one of those red boxes, right? You know, her story is not unique. And I don't know whose box it was, and it probably wasn't. It would be very, fitting for God, but probably very unlikely that the box came from Bethany. I don't know whose box it was that she opened. But, you know, someone has opened one of those boxes that you have filled. And it's changed a life. For her, it led her to trust in Jesus, to one day be confirmed and one day be baptized. Now that's analogous to your offerings. Your offerings provide ministry that lets people, whether they are children or adults, hear about Jesus. Some for the very first time. Leads them to confirm their faith. Come to the waters of baptism and begin a life in him. It strengthens them to live for him and with him and in him, and to find comfort even at life's end. Our gifts, our offerings, well up in life for and in Christ, and leaders to live a life worthy of the calling they have received in him. Our gifts fund ministry that makes a difference. Our gifts are purposeful. And the third truth is that leads us to embrace the reality that our gifts are positional. Now, if anyone can understand what I mean by a positional gift, it is a group of Lutherans. We Lutherans know, we believe, we teach, we confess that God works through means. What that means is we believe that for our faith to be formed, in order that we might receive God's forgiveness, so that we might grasp onto God's goodness and grace, that we might experience his presence in our lives, that we might receive his transforming power, God works through simple things like water and wine and words, like bread that is broken and believers that are gathered through the body here at Bethany and your brothers and sisters in your own little faith community. God works through things like that to work his work in you. Paul reminds us that our very offerings, what you put in the plate, what you text in, what is withdrawn automatically from your account, however it works out in your life, your gifts, God works into the loop of what His Spirit is doing. God works through our gifts to impart His gifts in the life of others. And thus, our gifts are positional. That is, they are part and parcel to what God is doing at Bethany. Our gifts are positional. They are purposeful, and they are personal. And so how can we not but join Paul in giving thanks to God for such an indescribable gift? Amen. We pray. Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ, the embodiment of giving, generosity is your nature. You give without limit, disproportionately. And because we have received of those gifts, though we do not deserve it, we will live forever. And here and now, our lives will be filled with your goodness. And so we pray that you would strengthen us to plead for the joy of giving, knowing that this indeed is a service to the saints and an indescribable gift with which you bless us. Amen.